As we continue discussing the issue of Lois Achmoid, there's a very interesting series of tshuvas in the Shas of Tshuvas Ptzela Chochma from Chela Gimel, from Simen Mem Gimel through Simen Mem Tes, understand of Lois Achmoid. And we're going to repeat some interesting points that he makes. He begins in Simen Mem Gimel discussing the following shaila. He says there was a city that had a shortage of shmura flour for Pesach with which to bake matzahs. Only the Rav of the city had that flour, and on Erev Pesach he baked with that flour matzahs. After he finished baking those matzahs, a number of Balbatim approached the Rav and asked them to give him matzahs for the Seder. And he gave them as much matzahs as he could. He kept for himself only the minimum amount of matzahs that he needed to fulfill the mitzvah at the Seder. So there was a Talmud Chacham in the city who said that these people who approached the Rav and asked him to share or give from his matzah mitzvah were over the lav of Lois Achmoid. That how could they go and ask somebody to give them something that he has? It's this of Lois Achmoid. So the question that he first addresses is there an isser of Lois Achmoid by Dvar Mitzvah? And he makes a very interesting distinction. He wants to say that there are two types of Dvar Mitzvahs. He says there's certain Dvar Mitzvah which the object can only be used for Dvar Mitzvah. A Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. The only use you could have with such objects is a Dvar Mitzvah. And then there are certain objects that even though they're primarily used for a Dvar Mitzvah, they could be used for other purposes as well. And he wants to draw a distinction that when you have an object that could only be used for a Dvar Mitzvah, by such an object, there's no issa of Lois Achmoid. But if it's an object that could be used for Dvar Mitzvah and also for a non-Dvar Mitzvah purpose, even though it's typically used only for Dvar Mitzvah, the best example I could think of is an esrig. The halacha is you're over Lois Achmoid. And it begins an interesting discussion. He says, we say three times a day the parash of Krishma, and we say, B'shivtecha b'veisecha, ovelechtecha b'derech. And the Gemara Masechet the Brachos, Dafir Aleph, Amin Aleph, based on those psukim, say that oisik b'mitzvah, pota b'mitzvah. So what do we see here? How do we learn that? Only b'shivtecha b'veisecha. If you're sitting at home, so you're obligated to say Shema. Ovelechtecha b'derech, if you're traveling for your own purposes, you're obligated to say Shema. But if you're traveling with Dvar Mitzvah, you're not obligated to say Shema. Oisik b'mitzvah, pota b'mitzvah. So he says, the Pasuk in Parashas Yisroel says, L'sachmai beis reyecha, eishis reyecha, avdei v'amosav v'shor v'chamayroi. The Pasuk in Parashas v'schanes of l'sasava beis reyecha sadeyu. So do we learn also the same way? Beis Reyecha means only what he has it for his own purpose, not if he has it for Dvar Mitzvah. So he says that only with the Gemara, specifically with the Torah, Chazal specifically Darshan, that when it's not a Dvar Mitzvah, make this drasha that distinguishes between a Dvar Mitzvah and not a Dvar Mitzvah, is there such a nafkamina? But where the Torah doesn't, where Chazal don't make such a nafkamina, the halacha is we can't make such a nafkamina ourselves. Furthermore, he quotes a mechilta, Leisachmet, that says as follows, in Parshas Yisroi, Leisachmet beis reacha klal, abdoi v'amosoi v'shoiroi v'chamoiroi prat, v'kol ashel reacha chos v'klal. The mechilta says that we should learn that pasuk, as we learn many pasukim the Torah, in the fashion of a klal or prat to klal. And how do we learn it? Ma prat mefurish, that if we look at Avdoi, Amosoi, Shoiroi, V'chamoiroi, these are all types of objects that can be sold and bought. Afklam of Furish, Bedovish, Ukoina, Makna. The only time you're over the lav of Loi, Sachmoit, says the Mechilta, if it's an object that can be bought and sold. What do we come, says the Merkavis HaMishnah, what is this Mechilta trying to teach us? The Talmud Torah, where the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ma ani b'chinam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us Torah, and he doesn't charge us for learning Torah. Af atam b'chinam, you should teach Torah b'chinam. So Torah, which is not something which is koine and makna, Torah which is not bought and sold, that's the only object by which there is no loy sachmet. According to this, even an object which is a dvar mitzvah, and it's an object which is only used for dvar mitzvah, it doesn't make a difference. It's koino makne. It's something that can be bought and sold, and anything that can be bought and sold is subject to the halacha of loy sachmet. Particularly, he quotes the chinuch that we quoted in our previous year, that the chinuch explained that how do we come to the law, that what is the isser of loy sachmoid? So the chinuch explained that the isser of loy sachmoid is because from loy sachmoid one could come to do terrible actions, stealing, etc., murdering, even the chinuch said. So what's the difference if you're choymed a dvar mitzvah or something else? If Chazal, if the Torah HaKadosh was concerned that that's what Loi Sachmet could bring, then it could bring it even if it's, if it could cause such results even by Divrei Mitzvah. Therefore, it would seem that there's an Issa of Loi Sachmet even by everything. However, he still wants to suggest that if somebody desires to say, if a Torah tefillin or mezuzah that belongs to somebody else, they're still not similar to Abdoi v'amosoi shoyri v'chamoyri, which are objects that can be used, which are objects that are used for a person's personal use. And therefore, he wants to suggest the nafkamina that he began with, that even though sevatara tefillah mezuzahs are koino makna, are objects that are bought and sold, but since they're not objects that are used for a person's personal use, avdoi v'amosoi shoyer v'chamoyroi, they're not going to be subject to loy sachmet. But if you have an object which is a dvar mitzvah, even though, if you have an object which is not only a dvar mitzvah, even though its main purpose is obviously to be a dvar mitzvah, certainly, if there are objects that are bought and sold, they're subject to loy sachmet. So therefore, if we go back to the shaila that he began with a discussion about matzah. Matzah, even though its main purpose obviously is to be used to fulfill the mitzvah's matzah, but it's still something that isn't only used. People eat matzah. And it's also an object which is koino makna. It's an object which is bought and sold. So therefore there's no din of loy sachmet. There's a din of loy sachmet. However, Here he says there's no problem with this shaila v'loisachmet for a number of reasons. Because, as we quoted the Rambam and Ravid Shulchan Aruch in our previous shiur, this loisachmet is only if you buy the object. You force the person to sell you the object. According to the Rambam, it makes no difference if he at the end agreed to sell it or he did it against his will. According to the Ravid, as we explained in our previous shiur, if he agreed at the end, there is no issur loisachmet. It's only if he didn't agree. Here, the Rav gave them the matzahs. And according to all the Rishonim and the way we paskin, if there wasn't paid for, then there is no issur loisachmet. Another reason why here there is no loisachmet is that the Rav has a responsibility mitam arvis because of Kol Yisrael or Ravim Zeh L'Zeh to make sure that as soon as he has the ability to fulfill the mitzvah, everybody else has an ability, has the responsibility to fulfill the mitzvah. He goes into a discussion, which is really not the discussion of our shiur today, but he goes at that point into a discussion, if you're over loisachmet, if how far does the obligation of Kol Yisrael Reim Zelazah go? That means, if somebody could fulfill the mitzvah in a minimal fashion, or he could fulfill the mitzvah in a more mechudadig fashion, is he obligated to fulfill the mitzvah only? Does it mean only that he has the obligation to fulfill the mitzvah in a minimal fashion and make sure that everybody else should be able to fulfill the mitzvah as best as they can? Or should he do the mitzvah as best as possible and only then, if he has left over, should he fulfill the mitzvah? Should he give away from the mitzvah? Question comes up by Chanukah. We know that to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah, of Menorah, you only have to light one candle. So let's say somebody has more, enough oil for more than one candle, and the next person has no oil at all. Should he give away everything more than one candle? Because he should make another person, give the person, the other people, the ability to fulfill the mitzvah? Or should he keep all the oil he needs to light as many candles as the Mahadran, when the Mahadran say he should light that night, and only afterwards, if he has leftover oil, should he give it away? But certainly everybody agrees that if he has enough to fulfill his mitzvah, and then he has leftover, he should give away the leftover. And therefore, here the Rav obviously didn't have many matzahs, but he had more matzahs than he needed to fulfill the mitzvah. When he has more matzahs than he needs to fulfill the mitzvah, there's no din. Then he's obligated to give away the extra matzahs to fulfill the mitzvah, to fulfill the obligation of Kol Yisrael, a raven, Zelazah. So La Loch Lamaisa, he paskins that if somebody tries to get from someone else, even at Var Mitzvah, Shoifer, Lulav, Matzah, he's over the lava, Loisachmed, Loisasava. By objects which have only a mitzvah use, say the Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, he's not that clear. Furthermore, you're only over Loisachmed, he says, if you decided that you're going to try to get this object no matter what, and you're going to badger the person to give it to you no matter what. Otherwise, there's no iser about sach alay sachmite, and certainly in a situation where the person is obligated to give it to you, or at the minimum sell it to you, because of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh, there is no iser of alay sachmite.